Good morning, PageCast listeners. It's Kelly and Sarah, and I'm sitting at Smitten Cafe in the heart of Franschhoek, surrounded by festival goers having their breakfast. And today, across from me, I have Justin Fox. Welcome, Justin.
Hello, Kelly. Good to be here this morning.
How are you?
I'm very well. Just arrived in Franschhoek. Very excited about what's to come.
Lovely. And it's set to be a very busy, busy program. So quite exciting.
Yeah, it's very tight, and I've got four events back to back now, but the town is looking beautiful. All the leaves have changed color, and it's just glorious to be here.
And it's beautiful weather as well. So Cape Town has really showed up. So I wanted to jump in with a few questions. Travel writing has this beautiful moment of risking and romanticizing or flattening places we visit. And you've written across many places across your literature, as well as in history. And so can you tell us about how you ensure that your depictions of these places and places in history are honest and respectful? And yeah, and you're complex because you do have this beautiful way of putting it. So yeah.
So Kelly, I think for me the most important thing is time in place, and so that means going to the location that I'm writing about and spending as much time as possible. So if it's a travel book like my latest book, a travel book called Place, it means spending a few weeks on each location, whether it's the Kruger Park looking at Jocko the Bushveld, or it's going to the Mariko to look at it through the eyes of Herman Charles Bosman. It's time in place. Mm-hmm. And trying to get under the skin of an environment, trying to capture the sights, smells, tastes, sounds, and as the author, your particular response, emotional response to that environment. And I apply that also to fiction. So when I'm writing a novel like my Jack Pembroke series, they're mostly set in Simonstown. So it means spending weeks in Simonstown and walking the streets in the boots of my characters. So pretending I'm in 1941 and pretending I'm on location. And the most recent of those novels was set in Alexandria. So I spent quite a lot of time in Egypt and walked the streets of Alexandria and tried to find the haunts where the South African sailors and soldiers would have been drinking and dancing, and going to the battlefields like El Alamein and seeing the graves and trying to, feel the desert. So, the short answer is time in place.
And do you find that experience quite lonely, walking the streets? I'm assuming in your head you've got like Jack Pembroke and the dialogue and everybody going all at once in your head. But do you find it quite lonely, or do you find it quite like packed and confined and like everything's just bursting to get out?
Not lonely at all, particularly if it's a big project like a book project. If I'm on a journalistic project and I'm stuck somewhere for a few weeks, I might not get lonely, but it might get a little tedious at times. But when I'm researching a book, there's so much I need to cover. And because I'm often in the head of a character, I'm looking at everything through that person's eyes, and I'm jotting notes all the time. And so I take pages and pages of notes, and I take hundreds of photographs because I use a camera as an aid memoir as well. So no, there's absolutely no boredom and no loneliness. It is absolutely packed, and I always feel like I would spend more time if I could.
Oh, okay, that must be really interesting to just walk around almost in your own head, if you will. And do you find that? That nonfiction, because you've written both fiction and nonfiction, and you're an incredibly accomplished author who's written, many, many books. Do you find that nonfiction narrative is more a literary activism of sorts? Or do you prefer to use your fiction as your sort of literary armor, if you will?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I think I'm most comfortable in nonfiction, and I'm probably that's my natural home in terms of my literary writing, strangely enough. So that's where I try and push the boundaries of the genre, and travel literary writing is the genre that I perhaps stretch the boundaries as much as I possibly can, and have spent much of my career investing in that space. So the fiction is a fairly new departure, and I'm having fun in the fiction space, and I tend to be following genres. Like I'm sort of writing traditional Second World War historical fiction at the moment. So I'm sticking fairly close to a genre, and therefore I'm not playing literary games. I'm trying to tell a really good story. So yeah, so I suppose the nonfiction is the more literary space in terms of experimentation and style and so on.
And especially in this setting, when we come to Franschhoek Literary Fest, what is your favorite thing about literary festivals, maybe particularly Franschhoek as well?
It's almost always about meeting people. And I love hanging out with other authors. There's the green room where authors can go and sit and chat and chill and prepare their next talk and so on. But that's also a place where, you know, we're fairly lonely folk in our job. We sit much of the year in a darkened room with a computer. So to be able to share one's trials and tribulations with other authors is fantastic. And also to meet the readers, because you get so much feedback from readers, whether positive or negative, it doesn't matter. It's all helps with the creative juices. It means there are people out there actually reading your stuff. And you often forget that in those months and months of sitting quietly alone writing.
I usually find that it's the books. I usually leave with bags and bags of books, which is never great for my bookshelf. So what is your favorite place or time of day to write?
Oh, it's always first thing in the morning. That's most authors are going to tell you this. I wake up and I commute the 3 or 4 meters from my bed to my desk, and I sit down and I have to be writing by 9 o'clock, and I have to write 1,000 words a day. That's my requirement of myself, and I normally need a whole morning to get that down. By lunchtime I start burning out in terms of creative writing, and the afternoon then could be more editing or more research or reading over stuff. If I'm feeling particularly inspired, I'll push through into the afternoon, but often a 3 or 4 hour hard morning session is enough creativity.
And if you weren't an author, what would you be doing instead?
Well, my career was as a travel journalist at Getaway Magazine, and a lot of that was photography and time in the field, and it also involved a lot of social media and video. So I would, if travel magazines were still flying and were still highly productive, I would be probably spending most of my time doing travel writing with a heavy emphasis on the photography, again, because that's a playful space for me. The writing is, there's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of expectation on myself, and it's really, really hard work. And photography and video is a much more playful space. So that's what I would be doing if I wasn't writing novels at the moment.
And it is really beautiful. Just the wildlife photography or just travel photography is really, really beautiful. Places you must see. So what is a completely unrelated skill or hobby that helps your writing?
Yeah, I'm a surfer and a windsurfer, and I spend a lot of time in the sea. And I also crew on a yacht in Table Bay for a friend. So being in the water is my detox time. And in the summer, I windsurf every day there's wind. So I'm windsurfing the beaches north of Cape Town, sort of Blouberg, Milderton, Melkbos, Sunset Beach, always in the surf, always looking for big waves. So that's a wonderful pressure release. And my passion is the sea. And of course, I'm writing naval novels all set at sea. So time on the water and in the ocean feeds into the writing. So I feel I can write passionately about my characters in the Second World War being at sea, because I spend so much time at sea.
You can kind of get the beauty and the fear of it. Yes. I feel like the ocean is incredibly unpredictable.
The fear is part of it.
So when you finish a book and you've closed the laptop and you've sent it off, how do you celebrate?
I don't. The next morning, I roll straight into the next book. There is no gap. And that's because I tend to be working on three or four projects at the same time. So I'm never going to finish two or three projects at the same moment. Mm. So the mere fact that I finished one means that there are probably another two on the laptop that are still going. And I'm normally writing both a fiction and a nonfiction book at the same time. And at the moment, I also have a poetry book going at the same time. So there's no such thing as ever really finishing a project because they just bleed into each other. Unfortunately.
So it's just like a to-do list check off.
Unfortunately, it's as unromantic as that. Yeah.
And what is your go-to read while you're writing, for instance, or to break from writing?
No, I try and stay in the bubble when I'm writing. So I try and read as much around the topic that I'm writing about. So given that I'm currently writing Second World War naval novels, a lot of my reading while I'm writing is going to be Second World War naval novels or history, or I'm watching Second World War movies, or I'm listening to music from the 1940s, Glenn Miller and so on. So I try and almost get into period and character with what I read and what I listen to when I'm writing.
So a form of method writing. That's really fascinating.
Yeah.
And what is the one thing on your writing desk that you cannot live without?
Earplugs.
Any reason why?
I live next to a lighthouse on a road with quite a lot of traffic and quite a lot of dogs barking and a fog horn that is very loud when the fog rolls in. And I need perfect silence when I write. So earplugs are critical. Also, when I travel, I can't travel without earplugs because I'll go nuts.
Well, that's all I have for you today, Justin. And thank you so much for this lovely interview. It's always a pleasure. And I really hope you enjoy the rest of the festival. And good luck for your back-to-back panels today.
Thank you so much, Kelly. It's been good to be with you.
Wonderful. Thank you.